my Bible. This is the true word of God. The word of God is true. I believe what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I believe God has given us this word. I believe God has given us this book. So I can live a victorious Christian life. Not just when I die, but right now, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want you to open your Bibles to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. And when you get there, say amen. Romans chapter 4. Hallelujah. What a beautiful day. Amen. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Are you there yet? Amen. Romans chapter 4, I want you to look at verse number 19. The Bible says in Abraham, I'm sorry, let me slow down. I'm in the left lane. Amen. I'm ready to run. Are y'all there? The Bible says in verse 19, in Abraham, being not weak in faith. Somebody say not weak in faith. Abraham being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. Somebody say strong in faith. Amen. Giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Amen. This is part two of a message that I started last week called fully persuaded faith. Notice I didn't say faith, but I said fully persuaded faith. And we know from last week that the verses that we just read are talking about Abraham. Amen. And because Abraham, I mentioned last week that he is considered the father of many nations. I think my mic went up some. Turn this down a little bit. I think it went up some for some reason. He's considered the father of many nations. Amen? And the reason for that is because he performed many actions that were required of him. Okay? He performed many actions that were required of him to receive the promises that God made to him. Once again, he performed many actions that was required of him. Can you turn Mike 13 down a little bit, please? Thank you. He performed many actions that were required of him to receive the promises that God made to him. Are y'all still with me? And the Bible tells us that Abraham did not stagger at the promises of God because Abraham knew that God was able to do exactly what God said that he would do. Are y'all still with me? Amen. In other words, he operated in fully persuaded faith. He operated in fully persuaded faith. Now, I want to give you a definition of fully persuaded faith. And this is, you will not find this definition in any book because this definition is coming directly from Ron chapter 9, verse 25. Amen. That's me. I want to give you a definition of fully persuaded faith. Amen. Can you turn 13 down some, please? Amen. Fully persuaded faith is strong faith. I'm going to read it so I won't mess it up. That shows our allegiance to God by doing what God's word tells us to do, whether we understand it or not. I'll say it again. Fully persuaded faith is strong faith. Notice I didn't say weak faith. It's strong faith that shows our allegiance to God by doing what God's word tells us to do, whether we understand it or not. Amen? And we put our strong faith into operation so that we can receive the promises that God has already promised to us. And when we put our strong faith into operation, we put it into operation by, number one, not staggering. Okay? Not staggering. Number two, not wavering. And number three, not worrying about what the outcome will be. Once again, when we put our strong faith into operation, we put it in operation by, number one, not staggering or hesitating, okay? Because a lot of times when God speaks to us, we hesitate, okay? We hesitate. Without hesitating, number two, without wavering, and number three, without being worried about the income, because we will know automatically when we operate in fully persuaded faith that God will bless us and the outcome will be better than anything that we could have ever imagined. Are y'all still with me this morning? Amen. The Bible says, once again, talking about Abraham, the Bible says in verse number 20, once again, that he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Another word I was used for unbelief is weak or weak faith. And the reason why I say that is because there are some things that we believe that God will do, but there are other things since our faith is so weak in certain areas, we don't think God is able to do it. Are y'all still with me? And that is what keep a lot of people from receiving the promises that God has already promised us through his word. That's the reason. They do not receive it because they are not fully persuaded or fully convinced that God will do what he says he will do. In other words, they have weak faith. Are y'all still with me? Yes, it's true that the Bible says that God has dealt to every one of us, Christians, the measure of faith. Romans chapter 12, verse 3, the measure of faith. But how many of you know that we have to do something with the measure? Because there are some things that will go on in this world, there are some things that will go on in our life that we need to have some stronger faith. And once again, a lot of people, there are certain things they have faith for. Well, y'all know God is able to do this. But when it comes to some of the other things that's beyond their imagination, they have weak faith. And because of our weak faith, we miss out on a lot of the promises of God. Are y'all still with me? People don't have strong faith because they don't believe God is able to do some of the things that God says, or the word says that God would do. Amen? But the Bible tells us that Abraham was fully persuaded. He was fully persuaded because God said some things to Abraham, and because Abraham has strong faith, he carried those things out. Number one, this is, we remember last week, in chapter 12, God told him, you know, leave your country, leave your father's house, leave your kid. If you do that, I'll show you a land, and then you will be blessed. And guess what? Abraham did not hesitate. Abraham did not start asking God's question. Well, God, why do you want me to do? Why can't you send Tony? He didn't start asking God's questions. He wasn't concerned about it. The Bible says that Abraham did what? Departed. And then God told Abraham in Genesis chapter 17 that Abraham was going to have a son, although he was 100 years old. Abraham didn't say, God, ain't no way in the world me and Sarah going to be able to conceive. No. He didn't say that. The Bible says he laughed. But see, most people think he laughed because he didn't believe God. Well, that's not true. He laughed because it was a laugh of enjoyment, a joyous laugh. Abraham laughed. He didn't trust God. Well, listen, if Abraham laughed at God because he thought God was crazy, why did the Bible tell us in Romans chapter 4 that he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief? The Bible wouldn't tell us that if he was laughing at God. God, you crazy. There ain't no way you would give me a chance. No. He was delighted. He was happy that he had a God who could make the impossible possible. Are you all still with me? Amen. And then when God told him to take your son Isaac so you can sacrifice him for a burnt offering, Abraham didn't ask questions. He didn't say, God, well, you know, why can't Pastor Ron take his son? Why I got to take my son? Abraham stepped out to do what God told him to do without hesitating, without complaining, without any excuses. He did it. And the reason why Abraham stepped out is because he knew that God was able to do what God said he would do. He trusted God enough to know that although God is telling me to do this, sacrifice my son, it doesn't look right in the natural, but I'm going to do what God says. Are y'all still with me? I'm talking about fully persuaded faith. Although Abraham might not have understood the promise, although Abraham might not have understood what the outcome would be based on the actions that he was going to perform, he trusted in God enough to know that God was able to do just what he said he would do. And that's why Abraham is considered the father of faith. Are you all still with me this morning? Amen. Now, what does Abraham's faith have to do with us? I mean, what does Abraham faith? Pastor, I know Abraham is considered a father of faith. I know Abraham left his daddy's house. I know Abraham just went to sacrifice his child. I know Abraham had a child when he was 100. I got all that. But what does Abraham's faith have to do with us today? Well, Christians, how many of you know that I am glad you asked that question? Are y'all still with me? I want you to go back to Romans chapter 4. I think you're already there. I want you to go back to Romans chapter 4. I want you to look at verse number 21 again. The Bible says here, and being what? Fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform, and therefore it was credited to Abraham for what? Righteousness. Do you all see that? But wait a minute, because look at verse number 23. It said, and therefore it was imputed or credited to him for righteousness in verse 22. Verse 23 says, now it was not written for his sake alone. Now it was not written for his sake alone. Always getting ready to get good now. I mean, I know what Abraham did. But look what the Bible says. It says, now it was not written for his sake alone, that it was credited to him. Verse 24 says, but who? For us who? Also, the Apostle Paul is talking to Christians in Rome. He says, but for us who? Also, to whom it shall be credited if we do what? Believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. What in the world is the Apostle Paul talking about right there? He said it wasn't for Abraham also. Now, Abraham obeyed God, okay? Became the father of many nations, and it was credited to him for righteousness, but not just for him. He said, but for us also. Well, Pastor, you mean to tell me that I get blessed because of what Abraham did? You can get blessed. You mean to tell me that the promises of God, that God promised Abraham, you know, multiplying the seed and all that applies to me, it can apply to you. You can receive it. because, yes, it applies to us on one condition. Are y'all still with me this morning? Look at what the Bible says again. It says, but for us also, to whom it shall be what? Credited, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. If we believe, on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offense. But Pastor, wait a minute. Wait a minute, Pastor. Because you're talking about Abraham. You're talking about believing on God the Father. But what in the world does Jesus have to do with all this? How many of you know, I am glad you asked that question. Listen, Jesus Christ paid the price on the cross of Calvary for you and for me to put us in a position where we are able to receive the promises that God made through Abraham. Let me say that one more time. Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, and his resurrection put us in position where we are able to receive the promises of God that he made through Abraham. As I've said many times, Jesus didn't just die on the cross. He did more than that. And because of Jesus, because of what he did, the Bible tells us that we are in position to receive all of the promises of God. Once again, the Bible says, if we believe on God, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered. In other words, I can't believe on God and don't believe on Jesus, like some people try to do. Well, you know, I believe God, but I don't believe Jesus. No, you believe in the wrong God. See? Because we can't separate Jesus from Jehovah Jireh. And Jesus Christ, because of what he did for us on the cross, put us in a position to receive all the promises of God. Now, I want to show you something here. I want you to go to Genesis chapter 22. I want you to go to Genesis chapter 22. He paid the price. In Genesis chapter 22. And when you get there, say amen. I'm telling you, man, Abraham obeyed God and his seed were blessed. But I mean, you know, through Jesus, we're blessed also. Now, I'm going to prove it to you. Because the Word of Knowledge Ministries, we don't say anything unless we can prove it according to the Word. You know, some people, they say stuff and, well, how do you know? Well, somebody told me. No. The Word proves itself. Are you all still with me? I want you to go all the way to chapter 22. And once again, this is a time when Abraham obeyed God to take Isaac to sacrifice Isaac as a burnt offering. And Isaac said, Abraham, where's the sacrifice, you know? And Abraham said, don't worry about it. God's going to provide it. That's fully, how many of you know that's fully persuaded faith right there? Fully persuaded. And so the Bible says that Abraham stretched forth, you know, his hand with the knife. And then the angel said, oh, Abraham, stop. No. God's going to provide a sacrifice. And God did. But look at what the Lord said to Abraham over in verse number 14. It says, and Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. Y'all know what that means? Huh? Lord will provide. Good God Almighty. Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mouth of the Lord it shall be seen. Verse 15 said, and the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn. Okay, this is what God is saying to him. By myself have I sworn, or made an oath, said the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing. Do y'all see that? Because thou hast done this thing, what thing did Abraham do? He showed his allegiance to God by stepping out to do what God told him to do without asking questions, without asking why me, Lord, or without making excuses. Okay? And God told him and said, because you have done this thing, because thou hast done this thing and has not withheld thy son, thine only son. Look at God for some emphasis right there. Thy son, the only son. I have one son. Most of y'all know him. Most of y'all might not. He's in the audio video room. And I'll just be honest with you. If I was told to go sacrifice my son, man, I'd be like, God, why? Why can't he totally take his son? Why I got? Are y'all still with me? But God said, because you didn't waver, Abraham, because you didn't stagger like a drunk person, because you didn't stagger, he said, listen, that in blessing, I will bless thee. Verse 17. Are y'all with me? And in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and thy seed, do y'all see that, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because thou hast obeyed my voice. Do you all see that? He said, but thy seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed because thou hast obeyed my voice. Do you all see that? Amen? Now, I want to share something with you right now, because we know in this world, or not in this world, but we know that there's the spiritual and there is the physical. Are y'all still with me? And how many of you know that there is a physical seed and there is a spiritual seed? Good. I'm getting ready to do some teaching this morning. Y'all better have y'all notepads also. Y'all can take some notes. Amen, amen, amen. There's a spiritual and there is a physical. And God told Abraham, he said, Abraham, because you have obeyed my word, you didn't waver, you didn't stagger, he said that I'm going to bless you, and I'm in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed. I will multiply thy seed and the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because thou hast obeyed my voice. Y'all see that? Now, I want to submit something to you this morning, because I want you to know when God said here, he would bless Abraham's seed. Now, one of those seeds is talking about his descendants. You know, Jacob and all those boys, you know, and, you know, his descendants. That's the physical seed. But how many of you know God is not only talking about blessing his physical seed? He's talking about blessing his spiritual. Oh, y'all better catch that this morning. He's not only talking about the physical seed, he's talking about the spiritual seed. But Pastor, the spiritual seed, the Bible didn't say nothing about no spiritual seed. That's why the Bible tells us to study, to show ourselves approved, a workman, into God. What was that? Needing not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's why when we study the word of God, we need to ask the Holy Spirit to teach us. Because when you're just reading words, you're just reading words. But when you stop and when you get into the presence of the Lord, like in the Holy of Holies, and ask the Holy Spirit to teach you, God will show you some divine revelation that is not written in any book anywhere. Are y'all still with me? Because yes, Jacob, Isaac, and the boys was his physical seed. But how many know that God was also talking about the spiritual seed? Look at this one more time in verse 18. He said, and thy seed. Notice that the Bible never says seeds. It says seed. It says, and thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because thou hast obeyed my voice. Let me give you a golden nugget before I move on. How many of you know just by you obeying God's voice, other people could be blessed. Did you know that? I told you, that's why we have to understand that you're not just a sinner saved by grace. You are a child of the Most High God, and other people can be blessed just by you obeying God's word. That's the kind of God that we serve. Amen? Verse 18 is not talking about Isaac and Jacob and the boys. Verse 18 is talking about Jesus. Y'all might have quiet on me this morning. He said, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because thou hast obeyed my voice. Well, Pastor Ron, you're wrong. Because Jesus is not from the lineage of Abraham. That's not Jesus. I mean, Joseph is not in the lineage. That's Mary. So Joseph can't be a descendant. I mean, Jesus can't be a descendant of Abraham. That's what people say. Y'all still with me? Keep that thought. But God is talking about here spiritual. He's talking about Jesus. Through Jesus, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because Abraham obeyed his voice. Y'all still with me? Pastor Ron, you're just making it up. I want you to go with me, please, to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. And when you get there, say amen. Galatians chapter 3. When you get there, say amen. Galatians chapter 3. Are y'all still with me this morning? I'm trying to let you know how blessed you are. When you say you're blessed going in, blessed coming out, that's true. But some people just say it because there's a scripture in the Bible. They don't really believe that. Galatians chapter 3. I say the seed that Abraham's talking about is Jesus. Are you the Galatians? Now, when you open up the Christians at Galatia in chapter 3, the first thing that Paul did was call them foolish. And let me tell you why Paul called them foolish. Because there were missionaries going around that time telling them that in order for you to receive salvation, you had to follow the Jewish law. In order for you to receive salvation, you have to follow the Jewish law. That's what they were telling the Galatians. And some of the Christians at Galatians believed it. And Paul, that's why he called them foolish. In verse chapter 3, verse 1, the first thing he said was, oh, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? He said, this only would I learn of you, receive you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. In other words, he said, how did you get saved? Did you get saved by the law? Or did you get saved by through faith, by receiving the Spirit of God? He's telling them, the law didn't save you. You got saved through faith. By grace through faith, because it is a gift from God. So he reminded them, no, it's not the law. You got saved by faith. So who's tricking you, trying to make you think that the law saved you? Are you all still with me? And look at what he said here in verse number 6. He said, even as Abraham, oh, there go Abraham again, all the way over in Galatia. He said, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for what? Righteousness. Now you, Christians, therefore, that they which are of what? Faith, the same are the children of who? Abraham. So what he's telling them, listen, you're not a descendant of Abraham by being related to him, the physical, you know, like Isaac and Jacob and the boys. He said, you are a child of Abraham or a descendant of Abraham through the Spirit, by faith, by you accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Once again, which are faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And then he told them in verse number 9, he says, So then they which be of what? Faith are blessed with who? Y'all didn't say that like y'all believe it. So then they which be of who? Faith. I don't know about you, but that includes me. Because I receive salvation through faith. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Well, Pastor, I hear what you're saying. But you still haven't convinced me that Genesis chapter 22 is talking about Jesus. Well, how many of you know you're getting ready to be convinced right now? Are y'all still with me? Look at verse number 13. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the what? Law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Okay? And then verse 14 says, so that the blessing of Abraham might come also to who? The Gentiles, through who? Jesus. Let me tell you what a Gentile is. A Gentile is any nation that's not a Jew. If you're not a Jewish, you're a Gentile. Anybody here Jewish? Well, then you're considered a Gentile. Are y'all still with me? Let me read this again. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through who? Jesus Christ, so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through what? Faith. And then the Apostle Paul goes on and say, he said, brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be by a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulled or added thereto. In other words, this is what he's telling me. He said, mankind is always, I bet on my dollar. I bet you $100, you know, making a covenant, you know, that, something that's above them, mankind. But he said, God's covenant with Abraham was much better than that. Look at this. He said in verse 16, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said not unto the seeds as a many, but as one, and to thy seed, which is who? Keep your finger right there. Let me refresh your memory. I want you to go back to Genesis chapter 22. Keep your finger right there. I want you to go back to Genesis chapter 22. You got to know. You got to know. If you don't know the promises are for you, you might not want them. You have to know. Go back to Genesis chapter 22. When you get there, say amen. Look at verse number 18. Once again, it says, and in thy seed, do you all see that? And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because thou hast obeyed my voice. Do you all see that? Go back over to Galatians chapter 3. Look at what the Apostle Paul said. Verse number 16, it says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. The promise was made all the way back in Genesis. Y'all still with me? He saith not unto the seeds as of many, but as of one, and to who? Thy seed, and the seed is who? Christ. Good God Almighty, amen, amen, amen. Through thy seed, which is Christ. Let's read on. And then he said, Because I told you last week that the Jews thought salvation was only for them. They didn't think that everybody else, anybody else could receive salvation. So I told you that the Apostle Paul, he was, I call him the pastor of the Gentiles, or the messenger, because he was the one that was going around telling people, no, salvation is for everybody. And the reason why salvation is for everybody is because Jesus Christ already paid the price on the cross. That's why the Bible says it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's why the Bible says, for God so loved the world. Didn't just say the Jews. It said the world that he gave his only begotten son. Are y'all still with me? So Abraham is letting them know, listen. He said here in verse 17, and this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ. Amen. Let me slow it down. I'm in the fast lane again. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. In other words, Abraham said that God made the covenant with Abraham way before the law came into effect. So the Jewish law cannot annul the promise that God made with Abraham. In other words, he said, no, you do not have to be a Jew to receive the promises of Abraham, because God made the promise before there was a Jewish law. You know how sometimes people say, well, you know, I know the Bible said that, but it don't really apply to me. It applied to the people in the Old Testament. That's why they don't have anything. That's why they don't have nothing. Broke, busted, disgusted, can't be trusted, abused, and confused. Well, that's in the Old Testament. See. Paul said, no, it's not just for them, just for the Jews. That promise was made to everyone. And look at what else he said here. He said, amen. For if the inheritance, do y'all see that? For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of a promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. In other words, he said, if we are receiving the promise because of what the law said, then it's not a promise. We're just following what the law said. He said, but the law have nothing to do with the promise. The promise is something that God gave to Abraham. He said, leave your country, leave your father's house, leave your kinfolk. Like Jerry Clinton, the kinfolk said, Jeff, move away from here, whatever, amen. Are y'all still with me? I know some of y'all don't know what Jerry really think. Jerry, who's that? Don't worry about it, amen, don't worry about it. That's why us old folk, amen. He didn't waver, he didn't stagger, he just did what God said. Are y'all still with me? He just did what God said. The law had nothing to do with it. The Jews had nothing to do with it. It was just a promise God made to Abraham. And then look at what the Bible says in verse 21. See, I gotta show y'all this. Is the law then against the promises of God? Paul said, I don't think so. He said in verse 22, but the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that do what? Believe. We saw in Romans chapter 4, it said the credit was not just to Abraham, but also to those who believe in God, who raised up Jesus from the dead for our sins. Are y'all still with me? Promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. And then the Bible says in verse 26, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ. And then verse 29 says, and if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and what? Heirs. That word is heirs mean I have legal access to the promises of God. I have legal access. You are heirs according to the promise. In other words, whatever the promises are in the Bible says through Christ Jesus in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, say all the promises of God in him are yea and amen. What am I trying to get you to see? What I'm trying to get you to see is because of the Jesus, amen, because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Once we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we become not physical descendants of Abraham. We become spiritual descendants of Abraham. And the promises are not just for Abraham's physical seed. It's also for Abraham's spiritual seed, who is you and somebody. Need to give God a hand of praise because he is worthy. Amen, amen, amen. Are y'all still with me this morning? Amen. Now, I want to show you something else here. I want you to go over to the book of Hebrews. I want you to go over to the book of Hebrews. God is just so good. Because in Genesis chapter 22, the Bible says some things here that I want to put a little bit more emphasis on. I know you're in Hebrews, but I'll be there in a minute. The Bible says in the Genesis 22, stay right where you are. I'm just going to refresh your memory. God said, Abraham, because you have done this thing, I sworn by myself, okay? And then he told Abraham, your seed shall all, through your seed, through all the nations of earth be blessed because thou hast obeyed my voice. I want to put some emphasis on sworn by myself and obeyed my voice. Are y'all still with me? Now I'm going to come over to Hebrews chapter 6 where you are or where you should be. Amen. Because in the book of Hebrews, Paul is still talking about the promise of Abraham. See? Look at what he said here in verse number 13. He says, for when God made a promise to Abraham, are you all there? For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. In other words, he made an oath. Do y'all see that? God said, listen, Abraham. And see, amen. See, God is so sure of his word. I mean, he is so sure of his word. He said, look, Abraham, I'm going to make an oath. Maybe I can make this, maybe I can swear on Terry. No. Maybe Lila. No. I tell you, Abraham, maybe I can just, I promise you, if I can do this thing, maybe I can give you a Mercedes. No. I tell you what, Abraham, since there's nothing greater than I am, good God Almighty. He says, since there's nothing or nobody greater than I am, I swear by myself. Good God Almighty. Amen. So look what he said here. He says, saying surely. Are y'all still with me? Man, this is so good. When I was studying this lesson, man, I just, amen. So surely. How many know surely means no doubt about it? So surely blessing, I will bless thee. And multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so after he had, what? After he did what? Wait. I hear three people saying that. After he did what? How many of you know you can test your faith to see if you are patient? What the word of God says that you can have. He said, Abraham, after he had patiently endured, he did what? Obtained the promise. Notice the Bible didn't say he put it in the microwave and it was through in 3 minutes. It said after he patiently endured. Christians, that's what fully persuaded faith will do for you. Fully persuaded, fully persuaded faith will teach you patience. It will let you know that regardless of what it looks like, what it feels like, what everybody else is doing, what the status quo said, what CNN said, it will let you know that just hold on. Because God will fulfill exactly what he said he would do, because his word will not return void, but shall accomplish everything that he set it out to accomplish. That's what fully persuaded faith will do for you. Abraham was concerned. He wasn't worried. He said, God, what do you want me to do next? Do this. Okay. But see, we, because of our weak faith sometimes, well, Lord, is it really you? Yes, it's him. Satan ain't going to tell you to bless nobody. Satan ain't going to tell you to come, to go to church. See, Abraham had a relationship with God. He knew the voice of God. He knew that it was God speaking to him. Many Christians don't know it's God because they don't spend time in the Word to learn God's voice. So we don't do it. We hesitate. We stagger. We waver like the wind blowing the sea, wondering what the outcome's going to be. Well, Lord, I know you said, bring all my tithes to the storehouse, but if I get that money, the outcome is always better than what our mind can think. Faith, Christians, faith. Faith is the way we should be living. The Bible says Christians who are justified by the blood of Jesus shall be living by faith. The only way that we are able to receive, notice I didn't say get, I said receive, because the promises have already been given. The only way that we are able to receive the promises is we have to operate by faith. Not weak faith, I'm talking about fully persuaded faith. I'm talking about knowing God will do what he said he would do just because he is God. That's what fully persuaded faith do. And I need to be patient. I don't care how many people's getting this. I don't worry about what they're getting. When God gives me mine, it's going to be better than what everybody else has. Well, they got this. I think we're, no. Don't you know sometimes people think God blessed them, but you know Satan would give it to them just to cause you to envy what they have and get married with God because you don't have it. He's a deceiver. But the Bible said Abraham endured, patiently endured, and after he patiently endured, not before, he obtained the promise. Are y'all still with me? Look at verse 16. For men verily swear by the greater. If you do this, I can do this for you. I promise you, I'll give you this. And an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability, that word means unchanging, of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. He confirmed the promises to Abraham by an oath. That by two immutable or unchanging things, in which it was what? Impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. I know you're a little confused. Let me read to you what the NIV says. It says, we who have fled to take hope of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. That means the promise is for us also. And then the Bible says, here we go, which hope we have, good God Almighty, amen, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the what? Uh-oh, that word veil again. We talked about that this morning doing praise and worship, didn't we? There's that word veil again. Whether the front runner is for us, enter. Even Jesus made it high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. We're not going to talk about Melchizedek today. He was a high priest, but Jesus is higher. Are y'all still with me? We talked about that veil. I told you earlier, we're doing praise and worship. In the temple, in the tabernacle, before the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Nobody could go into the Holy of Holies. Nobody could go behind that curtain. Them rascals go behind that curtain, they die on the spot. And listen, when the high priest went in that Holy of Holies, he had a chain attached to his leg somewhere. So if he went in the wrong way, he would die and people could drag him out. Because I mean, you know, when you're dead, you can't walk all by yourself. Are y'all still with me? And he went in there once a year to take the blood of goats and the calves, to sprinkle it on the mercy seat, to cover the sins for 1 year, and every year he'd have to do the same thing over again. You want to read about it in Hebrews chapter 9, starting in verse 1. But somebody say, thank God for Jesus. When Jesus died on the cross, I want you to go over to Matthew chapter 27. I want you to see this with your own eyes. So nobody would say, Pastor Ron, just making that up. Go to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27. Amen. I got 8 minutes. I'm almost done. Amen. Matthew 27. I'm telling you, we have all the promises of God through Abraham by way of Jesus. Matthew 27. You all there yet? Amen. In Matthew 27, we're going to start with 4-6. This is talking about Jesus Christ when he was on the cross. Look at what the Bible says. It says, and about the ninth hour. Are you all there yet? Because I'm teaching you and looking at the clock at the same time. I don't want my time to run out. I have 8 minutes left. It says, and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. I know y'all say, how do you pronounce that word? Now you know. Amen, amen, amen. That is to say, my God, why hath thou forsaken me? Now, let me give you another golden nugget before I move on. Because, see, some people think that when Jesus Christ was on the cross, God turned his back on Jesus. And that's why Jesus said, my God, why hath thou forsaken me? See, that's what a lot of people think. But God, he turned his back. I thought he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But, see, what we need to understand is this. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, that God made Jesus to be sin for us, who knew no sin, so that we may be made the righteousness of God through him. Amen? So God made Jesus to be sin. I told you when Adam and Eve sinned, mankind, we all received the sin nature. We had the nature of sin. And that nature of sin had to be destroyed. Are you all still with me? But the person who destroyed couldn't be a regular human being like you and I. It had to be someone born of a supernatural birth. That's why Jesus was born a supernatural birth through the Virgin Mary by way of the Holy Spirit. Are you all still with me? When Jesus Christ was on that cross, yes, he was Jesus, but when he was being crucified, he did not represent Jesus. He represented the sin nature. Once again, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for God made Jesus to be sin. In other words, Jesus never sinned, but God made him to be sin, because when Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross, it was just like God crucifying the sin nature. Are you all still with me? And because he crucified the sin nature, now we can accept Jesus, get back into the family of God by accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Look what he paid the price for us. Amen? So when Jesus said, my God, why have thou forsaken me? That doesn't mean God turned his back on Jesus. Jesus came down to do exactly what he did, to die on the cross for you and for me, so we could be spiritually reconnected back to God. Y'all still with me? Amen. I want to teach that real quick, because people think God turned his back. No, God don't turn his back on nobody. Jesus became the sin nature. Amen. And his sin nature was destroyed on the cross. Now, the Bible says all that, but I can't get to all that right now. But I want you to look at this. The Bible says, some of them stood there when they heard of him, and they said, he's calling out for Elias. See, when people don't know what the word says, they just make up stuff. And then the Bible says, and straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar, verse 48, and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him. Boy, they were some ignorant people, amen? And then it says in verse 50, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, he gave up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in two from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks rent. In other words, the veil was torn down, and now we can enter the holy of through Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, we serve a mighty God. I'm serving you that Jesus Christ is really Lord. I'm telling you that we can receive all the promises that God has promised through Abraham by way of Jesus. But Christian, we can't receive those promises when we operate in weak faith. We can't receive those promises when we don't believe that God can do what he said he can do. We can't receive them. We can't receive the promises. But because of Jesus, once we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we have access to all of the promises of God. The Bible says we are heirs of the kingdom. We are heirs to the promises. In other words, we have a legal right. Whether we can understand it or not, whether we believe God can do it or not, we have a right to those things. But the problem is that a lot of us limit God like we limit ourselves. The Bible says his ways are above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. God told Abraham that they would have a child. What did they do? They had a child. Maybe perhaps some of you, or you may know someone who's been in a situation, and the doctor said, you're not going to have no more children. You can't have no more children. And next thing you know, the baby come out crying, man, man, man. Man don't know. Only thing that men do is speculate. But if I say it already, God is God all by himself. It doesn't matter what situation you find yourself in, God is able to deliver you, and he will do exactly what his word says he will do. Are y'all still with me? But you have to have faith. Not just any kind of faith, but the God kind of faith, or the fully persuaded faith. Amen? I want you to go once again. I want to show you something. God always keeps his promises. I got a couple of minutes left. Always keeps his promises. I want you to go to Joshua chapter 21. Joshua 21. God always keeps his promises. Always. And I mean always means always. Always keeps his promises. The Bible says he can't lie. The Bible says it's impossible for him to lie. Are y'all there yet? Amen. I got a minute and 45 seconds. Are y'all be taking my time? I'm going to have to go overtime. Amen. Amen. Look at Joshua chapter 21, verse 43. The Bible says, and the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he swore to give unto their fathers. And they possessed it, and they dwelt therein. And the Lord gave them rest round about, according to all that he swore unto their fathers. And there stood not a man, all their enemies before them. Remember God told them in Genesis chapter 22? He said, you're going to be able to defeat all your enemies. The Bible says a man of their enemies, and there stood not a man, all their enemies before them, verse 44, the Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. There fell not any or out of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. Do y'all see that? Go to Joshua chapter 23, one page over. Joshua 23. I'm almost done. Amen. 4 o'clock tells me so. Look at chapter 23. The Bible says in verse 14, God always keeps his promises. It says, and behold this day, I am going the way of all the earth. And you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. Joshua's talking to the children of Israel. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Therefore it shall come to pass that as all good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so shall the Lord bring upon all evil things until he have destroyed you from all this good land which the Lord your God has given you. We see right there, and I'm closing, we see right there that God gave to them everything that he promised to them that he would give to them. But Pastor, I know God gave them what he promised to them, but what about us? What about us? How many of you know, for the third time, I am glad you asked their questions. Last scripture. I want you to go with me over to Galatians chapter 6. And I'm done after this. Galatians chapter 6. You stop playing. Galatians chapter 6. Good God Almighty. Galatians chapter 6. When you get there, say amen. I'm done. I know I might have been speaking 50 miles an hour today because this message, I was so excited about this message, but you can get a copy of the CD. You can order a copy of the CD. You will not get it today, but you can get it next week. Amen. Are you at Galatians chapter 6 yet? The Bible says in verse number 6, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, there shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap what? Corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Verse number 9 is what I want you to concentrate on. It says, and let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall what? Reap if we faint not or if we do not give up. Christian, what that verse tells us is this. What we need to do is continue to live a life of faith. Stand to your feet. I'm not talking about weak faith. I'm talking about fully persuaded faith. You may have asked God for something that lines up with his word, and you may not have received it quite yet. You may not have received it quite yet. But if it is promised by the word of God, you cannot give up. In other words, you cannot start operating in unbelief. Because I told you when this message first started that many people do not receive from God because after 2 weeks, they start believing that God would do what he said he would do. But we also saw in the Bible where Abraham was patient. He patiently endured. And we have to do the same. God is not mocked. God is not a liar. The word of God is true. The only thing that's missing from us receiving God's best for our life is faith. A lot of us have a little bit of faith, and we try to do big things with a little bit of faith. You got $15, and you go to the car lot and tell a man you want that car that costs $35,000. Guess what? You're going to walk away with your head down. If you want the big things, you need to have big faith. And that big faith is fully persuaded faith. And I told you already, fully persuaded faith is strong faith that you show by showing allegiance to God by doing whatever his word tells us to do. Whatever it tells us to do, whether we understand it or not. Amen? Receive your promises from God. Don't let nobody stop you. Don't let your lack of faith stop you. Everything is already done. Amen? Come on, give God another hand praise because he's worthy.